Good afternoon, everyone. This is the astrology program on WGXC 90.7 on your FM dial. Local radio in Columbia and Greene counties. Anyway, today is Friday, the 15th of July, and we're going to be talking about the next 2 weeks to take us up to Friday, the 29th of July. Unfortunately, the last program, I think, had a bit of a glitch and never really was properly broadcast. So one of the more interesting and more relevant comments about it was the fact that just before the last time, around the 14th, Uranus went retrograde, and this was really quite powerful. It's still in effect now and will be for some time. Uranus is the planet of revolution, of change, often radical, sudden, almost irrational, but also extremely creative changes coming about. And what's intriguing is that when Uranus goes direct, which is approximately half of the year, this is going retrograde in July, which means it went direct about 6 months ago, which would have been last December, that changes begin to really be pushed and really begin to form. And yet at the same time, they're slightly incomplete. When Uranus goes retrograde, everyone has the urge to go deeper. Mind you, I should really also make it clear that when I talk about the outer planets like Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto in particular, because they have such slow cycles, Uranus 84 years, Neptune 165, Pluto more than 265, that these planets are so far away that their influences affect whole generations rather than individuals. Individuals, of course, are part of the equation and are influenced, but only when the very slow movement of these planets make direct aspects to a planet in your horoscope. So when Uranus goes retrograde like this on July 9th, which was last Saturday, revolutions begin to have to be a bit more radical. Like, you could look at the revolution in Egypt. It's like, you know, everyone assumed that after Mubarak went down, that things were going to change, that everything was going to move into a positive course. Then, of course, the military takes over, and now people are beginning to demonstrate against the military. So it's as though that retrograde movement forces an inward-looking quality that forces people to look at the real core of what freedom is and what the populace really want and how that's likely to come about. Mind you, this is a 5-month reversal, and so it delays a lot of external shifts and things of this sort, but it does offer a time when a lot of inner dynamics are happening, shifting, changing. It's recognizing where the real resistance lies and exactly how they can create a system that takes many, many different people's interests into consideration. So it's actually very interesting. And on an inner level or on a personal level, it implies the idea that, you know, very much like I know a lot of creative people in Hudson that are perpetually wishing for breakthroughs in terms of their activities, and particularly things that are unique, unusual, individualistic, and so on. And this Uranus retrograde is very interesting because it allows people to really realize what it is that really needs to happen. And I've come to realize after years of working with these planets and the planetary cycles that in this particular case, it's really a kind of intense self-examination is what's really asked for and looked for. Because very often the things that limit us are limitations in our own perspective. So this is something for you to think about to look at, to play with, to explore, and see if you can actually make a shift. You probably noticed last night, which was Thursday, of course, 14th of July, that there was a very, very powerful full moon in Capricorn. And when the moon is full, it's always a polarizing time because, of course, the sun was in Cancer and the moon was in the opposite sign, Capricorn. And so what we get here is Cancer's sensitivity, Capricorn's pragmatism, practical, realistic nature. And it's interesting, it happens around the time Obama's dealing with the Republicans in government, in the Senate, in this country, and in the House of Representatives. And, you know, which is really going to reign, a pragmatic approach or a more emotional approach? In some ways, it's hard to know which of the parties correspond to which of these energies. You know, Republicans appear to be pragmatic, but they've totally been bought. So it's a very, very different proposition. So the idea is about with Cancer, Capricorn, full moon, there's a striation. There are two very strong points of view and they collide with each other. It's not a nice thing. It's not a peaceful setting. It's rather a collision. And this is in the nature of oppositions, and you know, both sides have their truth, and there's a probability that we need a little bit of both. I mean, that's really the only way to assume that a solution is forthcoming. So challenges that happen in our lives around this time, we sometimes need to take them on, even though they seem to be too far-ranging, too difficult, outside of our realm of influence. And this shows us that we still have lots of feelings that are strong, and that we can shift approach and be a little more flexible, even though the Capricornian part says stick to those ideas you've got, don't change them, be rigid. Cancer is saying, come on. You know, there's a wonderful sketch on I think it's ESPN these days. It's like people do things that are so irrational and the guys just go, come on. I mean, are you really going to be so ridiculously difficult? And in a way, that's the question we need to ask ourselves. Come on. Do you really need to be so difficult and make things so difficult? And again, it also is the time of year always, in the early summertime, when, you know, we want to kind of take it easy a bit, and yet that doesn't mean that difficult choices don't need to be made. Coming up very shortly on the 22nd, which is a week from now, the sun goes into the sign Leo on Friday, July 22nd, and it's actually very early morning on Saturday for us. But the whole idea here is that Cancer, the sign that we're in right now, is very inward looking, it's very emotional, it's very changeable. It's Cancer's energy is like emotions spin on themselves. They change from one state to the next. They shift positive to negative to positive and back again quite regularly. It's difficult to get one's bearings. You know, if you're used to having, you know, stable kind of values around when the time of Cancer comes up, it's everything but stable. However, the transition into Leo is a dramatic change, and this will be until, you know, the third week in August, around the 21st, 22nd. When the sun enters Leo, it shows that it's the middle of the summer, Cancer being the solstice, Leo being the hottest time, the real peak of summer, from July into early August. It's very creative. It's like really learning to accept the heat, to use it, to accept it, to play with it, to move forward with it, to be expressive, to, you know, show your openness, show how available you can be, how much you love speculation. Being a Leo myself, of course, I very often play with these principles, and they can be good news, bad news situation. It's like you want that creativity to come out, but it requires a tremendous output of time and energy and often money, and you know you're never really sure whether you're going to get that back again. But the nature of Leo is this confidence that something will happen, that things will shift, that changes will occur, that hearts will open. It's also a time of not necessarily schmoozing with others, but kind of opening ourselves up to accept and to hear what other people are about. Maybe it's a very compassionate time. Interesting, the Dalai Lama has been giving this Kala Chakra Tantra in New York all week. And one of the major Tibetan Buddhist Lamas, the Karmapa, is coming to Woodstock this weekend and will be there Monday and Tuesday. And it's very powerful because he's giving a heart teaching. Chenrezig and Avalokiteshvara, and it's all about these kinds of ideas, and it's absolutely perfect timing. It's about, the idea of compassion and being open to others and also to oneself. Leo also forces and encourages ego strength, and, obviously minor tyrants can be kind of pushed a bit forward in such times. But at the same time, it's like, we want to be expressive. We want to really make that kind of ultimate creative motion, movement, statement, produce the work, produce the great piece of art. It's an encouragement to go for it, to just take that next step, to forget the risks, explore the potential for possibilities, try to remain humble if it's at all possible, and show respect and respond, in a very positive way to those influences around you that affect you, because, we respect our own creativity. We all want to self-actualize in the recent terminology, but at the same time, we need an audience. We need to market ourselves. We need to communicate with the world rather than just being on our own little kind of energetic island. We need to step out, to step up, to move ahead, to be progressive, to do these fabulous things that we know other people are going to respond to in a positive way. On the 24th, if the 22nd is Friday, the 24th is a week from Sunday, Mars goes in semi-square to Jupiter. And Mars at this point is in the sign Gemini, and Jupiter is in the sign Taurus. And the semi-square is like, it's like a sign and a half away. It's a 45 degree aspect. And it's creative, incredibly creative, but also highly conditional. These aspects that are half of a square is 90 degrees and represents great tension and competition. A semi-square, this aspect, 45 degrees, it's like things are moving, but there are conditions attached. People love you, but there are conditions attached. So it's very interesting because Mars being in Gemini is like there's a flowering of different skills and different capacities, capabilities, ways of doing things, attitudes, approaches, ways of communicating. At this particular point, it ends up becoming quite a powerful time where very strong creative steps become possible. And those creative steps actually can take us in a very positive direction and can really move us forward and can advance our interests if we're only able to align those energies to express ourselves of Mars with Jupiter, which is a worldview. It's a way of looking at the world, a way of aligning a kind of philosophy with our actions. And this is very important, obviously, because it's not only about what we say, it's also about what kinds of ideas, attitudes, beliefs lie slightly behind it. particularly Jupiter and Taurus, there's a kind of pragmatic and practical mechanism at work here. And that practicality is about often money, about the ability to really bring things into being and to pass the test of, you know, not just do you like what I'm doing, but do you believe? Because when Mars and Jupiter combine like this, there's a double question. I not only want you to like what I do, but I want you to kind of believe in the deeper issues that I raise or that the work raises. If you find yourself asking this question, then you know you're obviously being triggered in some ways by either Jupiter or Mars or both. Incidentally, an important factor to realize, and you know, being a professional astrologer, this is much more up my alley than yours, but you know, when planets come into geometric aspects with each other, and I'm talking about these mutual aspects, I'm not talking about it from a traditional sun sign point of view, like you're an Aries and this is what's happening. This is a slightly more constructive way, because a lot of us have planets that connect to these astrological configurations, these aspect dynamics. And the thing is that if you have one side of it, you almost certainly have a connection to the other side too. So very often, it's not like I relate to the Mars part, but not Jupiter. In fact, if you connect to it at all, it'll bring up both Mars and Jupiter, and both Mars and Jupiter will come into play. So this is a time around the 24th when creativity, you know, requires adjustments based around what other people around you really are asking, what they want, and how it will go. On the 27th, the Sun goes in trine to Uranus, and this is a week from Wednesday. And on this day, Sun, your spiritual energy, the Sun's in Leo, trine to Uranus, which is in very early Aries. And this is an incredibly energizing and very, very positive aspect. It's a time to move ahead, to make strange choices, to step out on the limb, to walk the plank, as it were. Interesting, the Uranus in Aries is very nomadic. It's very independent, and there's a likelihood that you'll have this feeling like, I want to separate myself from the masses. I want to, you know, step ahead. I want to be seen as being different, and so on. And of course, Sun trine Uranus like this is that the Sun supports it, and that you feel like the rays of heaven are shining on you, and that it's your job, your function, your position to, you know, step up, to really take the heat, to move things in a new direction, to be able to shift what's going on around you. And on an individual level, it's a chance for us to really adopt new views, let go of what's been holding you back. It may well be in you. You know, an interesting fact of, or factor in being an astrologer as I am, is that I talk to people all the time about what's going on with them. And of course, you know, very, very often the issue doesn't lie in others as one would think it does. It's not about, you know, your wife, your partner, your husband, your mate, your lover, your friend, your kids, and so on. It's often about us, you know, and we're the ones who need to open up our perspective to be more accessible, available, and more willing to really listen, to be open, to play. July 28th, which is a Thursday, is very powerful, and because there's a change of sign, two planets change signs. Venus goes out of the sign Cancer and into Leo, and Mercury goes out of the sign Leo into Virgo. And these are both kind of interesting because it's important to really know about such things. Venus is about love. It's amorous. It's the love of the summertime. It's loving to be with someone you adore and wanting to shake it down. Leo, of course, is very, very theatrical. Venus in Cancer is much more like, you know, prove to me that you love me, whereas Venus in Leo is I'm going to put on such a show that you can't resist me, and I will be there in ways that you couldn't even imagine, and I will invent a way of being that you are so drawn to that you just literally don't have any choice. Like Leo's, it's like approval isn't even really enough. It's like really wanting to feel loved and really needing to be adored. And this is, you know, one of those qualities that I think I, you know, as a Leo myself, I can kind of identify with that, as funny as it is. But, you know, we want really the people around us to accept our creativity and not just like it, but say I like it and adore it. It's funny, I lived in Denmark throughout the 90s, and the Danes are very self-effacing in many ways. And you know, you would cook an amazing meal at a dinner party, and everyone knew it was fantastic, and no one would say, this is great, because they, in a way, didn't want it to go to your head. And Venus in Leo is the exact opposite of this. Venus is like really a stage where you want it to go to your head. You want it to be really critical. You want it to move ahead, to be as explicit as possible. Relationships, as a result, often become dramatic. Romance gets intensified. It amps itself up. It increases, you know, the need to have a bit of humor, because otherwise things get way, way too serious. But it also is about the whole idea of, you know, really looking to have your needs satisfied, looking to express yourself, looking to charm like crazy those people that you love and want to influence, but don't overdo it too much. You know, it isn't really at the expense of making yourself look foolish. It's really about inviting others in and giving them such a good show that they don't want to leave. And then also on Thursday, actually, you know, in Eastern Daylight Time, very, very early on Friday the 29th, which is 2 weeks from now, Mercury, which has been in Leo, which is like a kind of playful place for it. Mercury is how you think. Leo is, it's all about thinking about self-expression and about the outer qualities. And suddenly when it enters Virgo, it's more earthy, it's more critical, it's more getting down to the details, and it's intense. It's very, very much about going to the core and not just letting things pass, but rather going deeper, getting involved in the essence of things. Mercury is very close to going retrograde, that stage when it goes backwards. And so we're already approaching it, and many people can already feel it. If you're very mercurial, if you have Mercury prominently placed, if you see yourself as being very, you know, connected to your mind, then, you know, you can sense that on August 2nd, Mercury is going to go retrograde. So miscommunications can happen, and, you know, misunderstandings can be kind of an integral element of what actually goes on. And so this is a time when it's important to really recognize that, you know, we're going to have an entire month off. It even will go back into Leo briefly on the 8th of August before it returns to Virgo, but it won't return until after the end of the next couple of weeks, until early September. So this incredibly astute and very powerful transit of Mercury, take advantage of the ideas that come available. Remember those dreams. Remember your fantasies. Bring them into being. That's my suggestion. It's time to burn a lot of past memories, let them go. Open up a new page of the book, even buy a new diary and start it today, because you have everything to gain. This is A.T. Mann. This has been your astrology program, on WGXC 90.7 on your FM dial. And I look forward to hearing from you in 2 weeks' time, when I do believe we're finally going to have a first program broadcast from the WGXC studio in Hudson, and we'll give you instructions on how to ask questions, how to participate a bit more fully, and how to get closer to what's going on in your life astrologically. Thanks so much for being here with us.